facts are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. It is September 11th here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. For those of our fellow friends and neighbors to the north, they are commemorating the, I guess it's the 24th anniversary of 9/11, an event that obviously fundamentally changed the United States and even the wider world. With all of the protocols that were put in place as a result of those events. Thankfully, we have not, as a world, at least a Western world, experienced a terrorist attack since then. But we have had our other tragedies. But my prayers goes out to those who are abroad and still dealing with the after effects of that horrible day. Today we are dealing with an overcast day, somewhat in the Bahamas today, but nonetheless, we're still warm. You know, it's September and we're still a little warm. The captain, Garth, is away on a much needed vacation break. He and my number one fan, who is his wonderful wife, are away, and to his dear wife, they're relaxing in Michigan. We miss you. Telephone lines to contribute and to call in today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. For those of our listeners in the Family Islands, it's 242-300-5720. And for those of you that are going to text because you're shy and you don't want people to hear your voice and you'd rather do that than call, 422-4796. Now, in Garth's absence, I like to be a compliant co-host, but I am hosting solo today. And for those of you that haven't been listening over the last few weeks and months that I've been co-hosting with Garth, my name is Darvin Russell. Just to give you a little bit of flavor for who I am an entrepreneur, a former college professor, and some of the businesses that I own, I'm involved in pest control, the car rental business. But the hat that I'm wearing today is as the owner and managing director of my own boutique consulting firm, Russell. And I do a lot of consultation individually with persons about their personal finances and with entrepreneurs about their business finances. I host seminars for churches, nonprofits, for-profit organizations. So you can call me, hire me to come into your organization to talk about any number of personal or business finance topics. And then I also assist those of you that may have a full-time job, but you've got a side hustle, a business on the side. I help you partner with you to run that business. So I serve as a virtual CEO or co-CEO with you in helping you to run that business, because obviously you don't wish to leave your day job, but you have enough of an income, revenue, that you can enhance that maybe even as you transition to a full-time role in your business. So in that capacity, Garth has been asking me to do a finance show. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk a little bit about personal finance. I'm hosting again tomorrow. So if we have the opportunity, if we don't get done with some high-level conversations today, we're going to talk tomorrow, hopefully, about business finance. So today will be part one, dealing with personal finance. And tomorrow, we'll wrap up the 2 days talking about business finance for your small business issues and needs. So one of the things that I have been thinking about, and for those of you that are going to call, hopefully we can have a conversation today. I won't rush you off the phone. Garth gives you a minute. I'll give you like a minute and 15 seconds to ask your question or anchor a point. But today, allow me to set up the conversation. I had the opportunity to create, along with a small group of fellow Mount Tabor members. Bishop had recently asked me to do a seminar, basically a financial savings club anchored by a financial seminar for children. And we, myself along with my committee members, we basically facilitated the introduction of money concepts to the children of Mount Tabor from 5 to 17. So we broke them up into three groups, the primary school, the middle school, and then the high school group. I, along with my church member, facilitated the high school group. And those were folks between the ages of 13. And it was four Saturdays, 2 hours per Saturday, over the course of this summer. We wrapped up last month, had graduation on Sunday, two Sundays ago. And I believe that it was beneficial to the children to get an understanding, a basic understanding about financial literacy. Concepts for the babies around identifying money, being able to count. The middle schoolers got a basic and rudimentary introduction to a budget, what that looks like, what are needs and wants. And then I walk the seniors through a more robust example of a budget. What does budgeting look like? What should be in it? How do you reconcile it? How do you make sure that you're not overspending? How do you save and invest your money? The importance of insurance, both health insurance, car insurance, and those kinds of very high-level concepts, just to give them a flavor of what the world would look like when they become adults. Hopefully, prayerfully, it was beneficial to them. Our goal was to break this cycle in the Bahamas, where less than 10% of us have $1,000 or more saved on our bank accounts. And so that was our effort. That was my contribution. You know, a friend of mine always says that service is the price you pay for the space that you occupy on earth. So that was my church family this summer. So because I do this as a private citizen in my private business, for profit, obviously, because it's one of the ways I pay my bills, I also do it, as I say, for the private sector. So today, you get a free tutorial. We're going to talk money today. So the overarching question that I want to know, and this really was precipitated and nudged on by Garth, but in a series of conversation in places and spaces with friends and family, I'm always pricked by the state of our financial affairs. It's actually no surprise that we as a country are in the state that we're in if we're picking politicians from amongst us and we ourselves are challenged with managing our own households, right? So you could imagine it would be difficult to manage a country's household, which is multiple factors larger than what we have been able to successfully manage on our own. So today we're going to hopefully give some tips, and you're going to hopefully share with me what you're comfortable with in your household. And I'm hopefully going to be able to help you as we have this conversation around money. But we're going to go to our first break, and when we get back, we're going to get into the meat of the matter. We're talking budgets today on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Experience Marco's Pizza. Incredible deals paired with unmatched taste and quality. Order now to take advantage of these limited time offers. This summer, indulge with Marco's. Get two large one-topping pizzas with and choose between a cheesy bread or center squares for just $27.50. Upgrade to chocolate center squares for only $1 more. Or enjoy a large pizza with cheesy bread with a 2-liter soda for $22.50. Don't miss out. Act fast. Order now for carryout or delivery at marcospizzabahamas.com.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back. You are listening to 96.9 Guardian Today, and I am your host, Darvin Russell. Numbers to call in and participate on the conversation today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. In the family of islands, it's 242-300-520. And for those of you that are going to text today, it's 422-4796. So before the break, I was setting up the conversation, letting you know that the goal of today is really to have a conversation with you around how you're feeling, how you're making it out there in an environment of high prices, high inflation, stagnant wages. It seems as though everything but your salaries are going up. And I am, you know, although the Bahamas is rated one of the wealthier countries in this side of the world, I really do question whether or not the average family, the average individual, especially with children, how you're able to make it considering the overall cost of living in this nation. So we're going to talk. Hopefully you get to share when you call in some of the tips and tricks that you might use to stretch your money and to make it work, or ask you a question of me that you might want some advice, professional advice on. So as I mentioned before the break, we had done a exercise at Mount Tabor with the children, talking to them about high-level financial issues, needs, and what their desires and goals would be. And amongst that backdrop, one of the exercises that we did is we gave them basically a budget that they needed to style. So I gave them five different profiles of families, if you will, and I asked them to go and balance their budgets. That was one of the exercises that we did. And they came back with their reconciled budget, and they gave me some suggestions. So we'll go over one of those profiles a little later in the show today. But one of the fun exercises that I'll start with speaks to this issue of one of our big ticket items, right? So if you think about your budget, probably has maybe about four or five big categories, right? Rent, housing, rental mortgage is probably your biggest expense. Then you have health insurance, be that a combination of your car and your homeowners and health insurance for those of you that are have to pay all three. Then you have your grocery bill. Then you have transportation, so the attendant fuel, maintenance, and car payment. So if you look at just those four buckets, we'll probably talk a little about each of those buckets. But if you just look at those four buckets, that represents a sizable chunk of the average person's budget. For those of you that have been following my radio life for a while, you may remember that I started off on Steve McKinney. I had a show called Spare Change on Steve McKinney. That was my first finance show. It was an hour-long show once a week that I did, and I think I got up to 20 episodes before I had to suspend the show and focus on some other things in my life. But so this is but one salvo in an effort to kind of help you guys navigate these treacherous financial waters that we find ourselves in. So one of the exercises that I do is around grocery shopping and looking at whether or not it makes sense to save money by trying to shop multiple grocery stores, right? And when I was growing up, my mom was famous for this. You know, she mastered the art of grocery shopping. And it would be a regular Saturday activity. You know, we'd go to Potoski Dock and get our produce. Then she would go to Portion Control. She'd go to Super Value. She'd go to Budget. She'd go to any number of stores to save a buck. She'd buy the dented cans, you know, the whole nine yards. She used every trick in the book. When I lived in the U.S., I believe day of specials. In the Bahamas, it's Thursday. And one of the things that I got super proficient at, and my younger brother and sister who still live in the United States have taken my strategy and 10x'd it. You know, they have become super efficient, super disciplined, super savers when it comes to their grocery shopping and their strategy. So what I used to do is when the Wednesday paper comes out, it included coupons. The coupons came out on Sunday, but Wednesday was the in-store specials. I would take that newspaper because also the drugstores also had grocery specials in the U.S. And I would do that, and I would do my cross-matching, and I would create my grocery list based purely, almost 100% on only what was on special. And I would go wherever they were on special. I'm a logistics person, so I would map out my route to make sure that I'm not wasting gas or inefficient with it. And I would go and do my grocery shopping. And my grocery budget for both my spouse and I at the time was less than $100 a month. And this is many moons ago. Back would have been between the years 2005 and 2005 and 2009. It would be more like between 2001 to 2005. And I got really good at that. My friends just always marvel as to how I was able to spend so little on grocery. Now in the Bahamas, my grocery budget is about $100, between $100 and $125 essentially every 2 weeks. So I spend between $250 and $300 for myself a month on grocery in 2025. But to give you a sense of this little exercise that I do, so I track grocery prices, right? And the last tracking that I did was back in 2019. So I went and pulled up some of my spreadsheets to share with you today. And I pulled out 17 items that I was tracking. So we're going to look at this in two different ways. So remember, we're talking the four big budget categories, and we're starting with the grocery, the one that that I highlighted first, right? When you look at this, so let me tell you what's on this list. I have flour, evaporated milk, butter, Blue Bonnet butter, eggs, 2% half-gallon milk, a pound of cheese, sharp cheese, a six-pack of Coca-Cola, Mahatma rice, 5 pounds of potatoes, a head of lettuce, sugar, 5 pounds, 4.4 pounds of sugar if you're a first-choice kind of guy, tomatoes per pound, bananas per pound, red apples, the three-pound bag. I spec'd ramen noodles. I spec'd frozen vegetables. I spec'd pork chop ends. I spec'd Wesson oil, and I spec'd chicken wings. Now, there are some items that aren't on there. Bread isn't on there because I'm not a big bread eater, so it wouldn't really be on my list. I buy it so infrequently that whatever the price is the price. Okay? But that basket of 17 items in 2019, so now remember, now this is pre-COVID, And I think for a lot of us, we almost think about the world pre-COVID, post-COVID, right? Because it seems as though COVID kind of altered the world in the way that 9/11 24 years ago altered the world. For us, it was Dorian, and 2019 was the start of tremendous change in our financial lives and a period of instability that has lasted, maybe some would argue, even till this day. So I'm glad that the last time I did this was in 2019. So 6 years later, what have those price changes been? You know, we talk a lot in the Bahamas about how expensive things are, how grocery prices have skyrocketed. So here is the empirical evidence, because you guys know I love to do my research. So in 2019, the basket of 17 items that I just highlighted in Super Value, that basket was $30.53. Okay? $30.53. You guys following the numbers? All right. The 17 items was $54.86, not $30.53. $30.53 is for the more commonly purchased item. So sorry. The 17 was $54.86, and currently that has gone up to $72.06. So we've gone from $54.86 to $72.06. So I know you're thinking, well, Darvin, how big is that increase? I'm glad you asked. That is 31% increase in 6 years. So those of you that are math wizards know that's on average 5% a year. Now, on the face of it, you that it's not as much as maybe you even thought, because, you know, we think about these things in short-term spurts, right? We say to ourselves, man, look, your price has just gone up. Price is just high. I gone in the grocery store last week and eggs was X, right? And we don't oftentimes have a perspective of historical prices or what prices were even in recent times, especially when you deal with volatile items like eggs that seem to have been fluctuating over the course of the last year, significantly high, coming back down, significantly high, coming back down, right? But for those 17 items, the price has gone up by 31%. Now, this is against a backdrop of what the data says to us, that we, the average family or the average individual, the per capita income is around $33,000 a year, last time I checked. That's in the neighborhood of about $2,800 a month in salary, okay? That's around, what's that for the math? That's $700 a week for those of you that are counting. Now, this is not a problem for you if you got a raise in excess of the 5% every year for the last 6 years, or you now currently make 30%+ more in 2026. I would argue, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong when you call, that the average person has not received a 30% raise in the last 6 years. For those of you that are fortunate to work for companies that have given you at least a cost of living adjustment, that typically is in the neighborhood of 2-3% per year. So that means if prices of grocery are going up by 5% and your income is only going up at best by 3%, you're in essence 2%, you know, poorer, if you will, right? Of course, your 3% represents your overall gross, and the 5% in groceries represents just a portion of your budget. I understand all of that. But all of the other prices in your budget have also gone up, and probably gone up even higher than the 31%, okay? So looking at this grocery item at 5% per year, does that strike you as reasonable now that you can think, right? Do you think it's as bad in your mind now after hearing that as you thought it was before I gave you that data? Now, let's slice this same 17 items a little differently. Let's look at those 10 most purchased items for me. So of the 17, these are the 10 that I looked at. Just the Blue Bonnet butter, just the milk, just the rice, just the potatoes, just the lettuce, the sugar, the pork chop, the chicken wings, and the oil. Those 10 items was 3053 in 2019. In 2025, those 10 items are 4215. So those 10 of my frequently purchased items went up 38% versus 31 for the overall 17. So that results in 6 plus percent per year on average of an increase. So one of the things that you will recognize from that is inflation becomes very individualistic. You know, the government talks about a macro inflation. So what have the average prices increased around a breadbasket of expenses for the overall economy? Okay? I am isolating that to get you to understand that your core inflation, this is what you're feeling day to day, and which is why you probably are feeling so stressed about your budgets. And that's because the expenses that constitute the biggest portion of your budgets is what's going up even higher than the overall macro inflation in the economy. So you're not going crazy, right? You're not going crazy. Things are getting more difficult. Things are moving. The items that you purchase are moving faster and higher than you can reasonably keep up with, okay? So when we look at this item, and when you pull out a couple of them, for example, the potatoes. Potatoes went up from $2.99 to $4.99. Milk has had a reasonable increase from $3.39 to $3.98. But look at butter. Butter went from $1.39 in 2019 to $3.51. Sugar from $1.99 to $2.59. And oil, vegetable oil, Wesson oil went up from, that's the 48-ounce size, went up from $3.99 to $6. Okay? So these are real fundamental changes to your budget. And when you have those kinds of shocks to your budget, it's really difficult for you to make headway from that. Okay? So Darvin, you know, what do we do? What do we do? How do we deal with these when, as you indicate, our income is not increasing to keep pace? Well, you've got to kind of get super creative, right? So a couple of things that I will share that I share with my clients, that I share with my family and circle of friends. One thing that you can do is you can start buying as a group, right? Start buying as a group. Now, this, you have to choose the leader of the pack, of the group, who is a savvy grocery shopper. Because let me tell you what can happen. Not all things that you buy wholesale are cheaper than when they are on special at retail. So you can't just use this as an across-the-board strategy for saving money on your grocery bill. Okay? So you have to plan your grocery shopping with wisdom. Okay? Lay out the items that you're going to purchase, make your phone calls around, and comparison shop before actually going to the grocery store so that you can maximize your savings with this strategy. So you're going to bulk buy. That's number one. So you and your friends at work, you and your family, you and your church colleagues, and you buy in bulk, and then you redistribute those items in smaller lot sizes for those that are participating in your grocery club. Okay? Caller, but let me take this first caller before I go on with some more strategies. Caller, you're on the air. You're listening to Garden Here Today. This is Darvin.
My friend. Is it Garvin or Darvin?
Darvin with a D.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
What you're saying, you hit onto something as I was dialing the number that I was going to call on.
Yes, sir.
Shopping in bulk.
Yes, sir.
Three, four family members get together and do a pilot from the state.
Mm-hmm. You don't even need to do that anymore because you may not be. So it's about what you buy in America now, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, back in the day, we used to do that as our summer exercise, and almost anything you bought, you were saving even after duty and freight. That's no longer the case.
But you know, Do you know you can get a can of Starkist tuna?
Yes, sir.
cheaper here.
Yes, you can.
Than in the States.
Yes, you can. Sugar is also cheaper.
You, we must be,
too.
In mm-hmm. your opening salvo, you said that how rich we must be.
Yes.
Do you know this is one of the only countries, I did a little traveling in my time.
Yes, sir.
And this is one of the only countries I see you get a 12-ounce can soda.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about on Bay Street or Paradise Island, you know. Oh, I yeah. talk about on Soldier Road.
Yes, sir.
A can soda.
Okay.
The same soda you could get in Walmart and those for 50 cents, okay. 39 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Same Coke soda.
Yes, sir.
But we're paying $1.25 for a can soda.
Yes, sir.
We have to be rich. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
When you look at things and we have to be rich,
mm-hmm.
the man say he's selling you a 10-pound pack of chicken wings for $9.99.
Yes, sir.
That's like you're paying almost $1 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could get the same chicken wings in Walmart, 69 cents a pound.
Yes.
You know, so let it make sense. But another thing in closing.
Yes, sir.
You have to be very careful now, because if I go to the city meet in Salt Beach
mm-hmm.
and then got to drive to the Super Value on Wolf Road.
Yes.
Just to try and save a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You may end up spending but $1.50 just on gas.
Yeah, so.
So you got to work that out first.
Absolutely, but I'm glad you mentioned that. So This is, thank you for your contribution today.
Yes, sir.
So the caller brought up an interesting point, right? And here's what I want you to bear in mind. NASA is 7x21. I used to work for General Motors, so I know a little bit about cars and fuel economy, right? And you know, if you're maintaining your car, et cetera, even at $5.50 a gallon for gasoline, right? That means a gallon of gas, between, let's say, the average car, especially those Japanese cars, you're getting maybe 20 plus miles per gallon. So you can your $5 can go, $5.50 can go a long way to doing this. The trick is, pick a day that, you know, I like to shop on the weekends. There's less traffic. But even if you do it in the evenings after work, it doesn't matter which day you do it. But all I'm saying is you need to plan it logistically. Because it's going to be important for you to maximize that gasoline, because as the caller says, it is a part of the overall expense that you're trying to manage, right? So thank you for your contribution. So when you talk strategy, so the first strategy that we talked about was bulk buying, getting together in groups. The caller had mentioned the tried and true go into the United States, and my only cautionary tale is make sure what's on those items, what's on that pallet, is definitely saving you money. But the problem is now, remember, you've paid for the car, you've paid for the ticket, you've paid for the hotel. You've had to pay for the pallet, the duty, the VAT. Plus, the going away to put things on the boat is not as beneficial anymore, as prices in America have risen dramatically. The cost of freight has risen dramatically. The cost of the hotel, airfare, all of the attendant and ancillary costs required to facilitate that have gone up. Now, there are services that offer to shop for you, but you're going to have to run the math, right? But I just want you to bear in mind that there are a lot of other costs associated with you shopping abroad. Carly, you're on Guardian today. This is Darvin. We are talking money and finance today, helping you with your budget. How can you help? Turn your radio down for me. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah, great shoes, you just, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, okay. I like how what the caller said, right, saying that all us Bahamians need to put together mm-hmm. when we go away to put something on the pallet.
Yes, sir.
First of all, that will never happen.
Why you say that?
One, we can tell you when we come back from Miami, but we ain't never tell you when we go in Miami.
Okay.
We can tell you how to take us where we come from Miami.
Yes, sir.
But go in, come on. You think we're going to Walmart shopping mm-hmm. for your cousin?
Mm-hmm.
Get the apple juice?
Yeah. Yes.
We can take the apple juice with a coffee.
I'm out of that. Yeah.
All right, Chief.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to some of these texts before I get carried away with our other topics of conversation today. It says, good day, Russell. Text. Okay, phone isn't. Let me open it. Okay. Good day, Russell. Garth is a very good talk show host, but when he is on Beyond the Headline show, he seems to be off. I don't know what it is. Good afternoon. Great topic, Mr. Russell. I don't feel so rich in one of the richest countries. Ain't that the truth sometimes? The taxes, prices are to the roof. I'm one of those that got laid off feeling the cost of living. Before 9/11, it wasn't bad. After COVID-19, it went haywire. I remember when $100 used to get you a cart of groceries. Now, one, maybe two plastic takeout bags. That is indeed true, Texter. I, too, have experienced the same challenges. Hi, Darwin. Most of the items you listed are not necessary to purchase. They are bad for you anyway. So that is a savings right there. I'm not sure a lot of the items listed are bad to purchase. Like I mentioned, this was my list of groceries. I'm happy for you to share what is on your list so we can do the comparison as well. But we'll go down and share some more tips and tricks with you. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Guardian Today, 96.9.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you seek the best care possible. Work with the brightest minds and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Spend it all. I have not money. We make it. For we see it, you take it. All the way they do my life.
You're listening to Guardian Today, and I am your host today, Darwin Russell, sitting in for Garth Roseborough, who is on a much-needed vacation break. We are talking today about budgets, how to help you save some money and navigate some of these challenges in this high-cost-of-living country called the Bahamas. Carly, you're on the air. You're on Guardian Today with Darwin.
Sorry, Darwin. Sorry okay. For calling back.
No, man, no problem.
But let me say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use the Baptist.
Yes,
because
sir.
You have so much different Baptists now.
Yes, sir.
Let's use like the Church of God of Prophecy.
Okay.
They have about 21 different churches.
Mm-hmm.
Why the Church of God of Prophecy can't buy the Fields building?
Can't buy the what?
Buy the Fields wholesale building there on Gladstone Road.
Oh, okay. Buy the building. Okay.
Turn that into a food store for the Church of God of Prophecy people.
Okay.
And you know if all of these churches we have let me stop singling out the churches. Let me say churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know all of the church members
mm-hmm.
go into one food store.
Mm-hmm.
Just they just shopping with Jesus Save Food Store.
Yes, sir.
All the church people.
Mm-hmm.
All the church people who buying cars.
Mm-hmm.
Buy cars from Jesus Save.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos.
I like where you're going. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can even do it with a pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no entity. I don't care PLP, FNM, COI. I don't
mm-hmm.
care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in one church.
Yes, sir.
So all of them going to church on Sunday. When you go to church on Sunday, you mm-hmm. don't want to know political thing.
Absolutely.
So everybody's shopping in one place.
Yes, sir.
All the church people.
Mm-hmm.
Being as a Christian, because everybody's going to church ain't a Christian.
Yeah, I understand.
All the church people
mm-hmm.
shopping in one food store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, type of
impact that could be.
And then not only that, you know, what you do with it? Then you, through the prophet.
Yes, sir.
You share it up in the church.
I love it. I love it.
So you're serving your people, plus you're helping your people.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
You know, because, brother, let me tell you, these church people can get together and stop trying to see who can build the biggest. What sense is a church?
Mm-hmm.
Have, you're talking about finance now.
Yes, sir.
What sense a church having $2 million in a bank account?
Mm-hmm.
And they have members in their church. Children can't go to school because mm-hmm. they don't have lunch money
mm-hmm.
or lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have uniform.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate
the,
you.
The Buddhist line.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, my brother.
All we need to do is, see, and then guess the biggest problem can be?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody going to be in charge.
There you go.
See, that's the problem.
Well, you actually face even other issues, right? Who's going to fund it? So let's say that the church goes and purchases the first 40-foot container. Right?
Yeah.
The church has to get reimbursed, right? Because that was a significant expense. So what you're trying to do is for the church just to make a little bit of money to cover the expenses. People are going to be working to distribute it, even if you just distribute it on one day, which is a Sunday after church, you prepack the bags, etc. But you need to contribute to that. So we're selling you a $50 bundle of grocery based on our calculation. We ain't trying to make no money off of it.
No.
We're just doing this as a service to our operationists. I love it. Mount Tabor, where I go to church, we did that a few years back.
A $50 bike for about $35.
Absolutely. You got it. That's the vision.
And it'd be catching.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe that would attract some people. Then some people on the road see
yes,
that
sir.
That's what the church people are getting. That would maybe even attract some people into church. We
yes,
got to use some strategies to get people into the church.
Yes, sir. I love it. Thank you, sir.
You know, my church do a feeding thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the people is know when the feeding day.
Yes.
We don't advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor knows don't advertise nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the people know when the feeding day. They
mm-hmm.
know when to come.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we got to do some things.
Yeah, man. Thank
but
you.
But I can continue listening.
I appreciate you. No, man, that's all right.
All right.
Next caller, you're on the air. Thanks for your patience and holding. You're on Guardian Today with Darvin. How can I help?
Hey, good afternoon, Darvin. How are you
doing? I'm good, my friend.
That's an excellent strategy and idea, what you were speaking about.
Yes, sir.
In fact, I tried it several years ago with several members of my family.
Okay.
And the Haymans are so very passive.
Yes.
It takes a lot for them to buy into something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't see a vision sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you were speaking, I was on my way by a particular wholesale place near to the mall.
Yes, sir.
The prices on some canned goods. Because, you know, when I look at some stuff, and when you buy them single-handedly, it mm-hmm. costs you far more than
does.
If you were to buy them.
It does. No doubt about it. So tell me a little bit. How did your experiment with your family work? Was it successful?
Not really. Because
okay.
when you look at it, you were the one to spend the bulk of the money.
Oh, Lord.
But everybody wanted the same amount of items.
So
what I do, when my wife, my daughter's going off. I just put a list of stuff because, you know, I used to basically live there, so
mm-hmm.
I knew exactly where to go.
Yes, sir.
And I said, if you had the price that they listed at this time,
mm-hmm.
go to another particular shop.
Yes,
like,
sir.
For instance, if you go to BJ's and there some of the items are high, go to Silver Lot.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of little small stores that have that sell bulk also.
You got it.
You just got to know where to go.
Absolutely. Thank you for your contribution. Love it. One of the things that the caller mentioned that I think is one of the big advantages about living in the United States is the plethora of options that you have around purchasing generic items. He mentioned Save-A-Lot, which is like one of my absolute favorite grocery stores in America when I'm away. I love me some Aldi. I love me some Lidl. I love Costco. I love Walmart, okay? All of those institutions, Trader Joe's, they have their own strategy, but a lot of them do excellent private label products. So you who are obsessed with brands, if you're trying to save money, so tip number two is buy generic, okay? Buying generic does not mean that it's or less than. For those of us that are in those places and spaces where we understand the manufacturing and the private label game, a lot of those manufacturing companies are producing for the same big box retailers and those huge consumer brands the same, almost the identical product and just slapping a private label on them. So don't be shy. Test the product out. If you're afraid of buying, you know, if you usually buy a 64 ounce of something and you want to test a generic item, buy a smaller size just to see if your family would adjust to it. Trick your kids. Take the old bottle and just pour the contents of the generic bottle in the previous bottle. They even know the difference. I'm telling you, a lot of what you're buying is you're buying for psychology and history. It has nothing to do with the quality of item in the container. Okay, so strategy number one for saving with your grocery, buy in bulk and share amongst your friend. Like the cautionary tale from the caller who called a minute ago, make sure, now you got to know how to deal with behemoths now. You know, some of us could be trapsy and treacherous. You got to make sure you collect the money up front, okay? Buy, pre-package, develop a price for the pre-package of items. People get rich and switch and won't play about your money when it comes time to reimburse. And if you behave like that, you have to get kicked out of the club, okay? The grocery club cannot continue to entertain you. So you get a list of items, buy them in bulk. This is where your math skills are coming in. You know, your lowest common multiple comes in because you need to know what's the minimum quantity of something you can buy to make up the case, right? And so that you don't have leftovers, right? You're not a grocery store. You ain't trying to house no inventory. So you go buy it in bulk, getting it as a packaged product. So as the gentleman said, you're getting a bag of $50 worth of grocery for $35. That's the idea and objective. Buy generic, buy in bulk. Third item, third strategy that you're talking about as it relates to your grocery shopping. Besides that, you can barter. So bartering means that you can go ahead. So I am a person who has a few businesses. When I'm dealing with a client from the family island, I might give him a car for a day if he brings me $50 worth of seafood, because my car's rent for $50 a day, right? I'm able to do that. So I get $50 worth of seafood that he, you know, can go out in the boat, because that's what he does. And he gets something when he, a car to use for the day when he comes to Nassau to go shopping, okay? So those are three strategies. Caller, you're on the air. The lines are lighting up. So caller, you're on the air with Guardian today. This is Darvin. We're talking money today.
Yes, good day, Mr. Russell.
How are you, my friend?
Yeah, Dennis Bethel there. You make me chuckle. You said to trick the kids and water.
Oh, yeah.
In the bottle,
all day, every day.
Right?
Yeah.
I understand, because the young back of mine with Biggie Smalls read about the eyes on shirt back in the day.
Yes.
And they used to take the little tigre with the tiger and take it off. They used to take the little tigre off the shirt.
Yes,
and so, you know. So the tag inside in the back of the shirt. Say you want to see it, you say you want to see the inside and see you later.
Yes. You too, man. Thank you for your contribution. All right. Next caller, you're on the air. You're on Guardian today with Darvin. We're talking money today.
Mr. Russell.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic, buddy. How you?
Brilliant, man. Listen, it's a two type of bread that goes in our large food store.
Yes, sir.
Two type sliced bread.
Yes, sir.
Okay. One of those bread, Bahamian, most all Bahamian eat.
Yes, sir.
The other bread is American household bread.
Yes, sir.
And that come from away, but that's what America use.
Yes, sir.
See, the generic stuff that we shy away from,
those
same items is be the household name inside America.
Yeah.
But it's just that we grow up using a certain name brand, certain brand of mayonnaise. But when you go to these foreign places, that's their brand name.
Absolutely.
So you could save more if you get used to it. So when you go to shop, you say, oh, I want that kind. Taste it and try it out and see how it works.
I agree, my brother. I had to do it. I mean, I wasn't. Thank you so much for calling and your contribution today. I'm going to tell you folks something. You know, I sit in a place in a space where the Lord has blessed me financially tremendously. So I certainly don't have anything to complain about. But my life hasn't always been this way. But let me take this call before I tell you that next story I'm going to tell you on money and growing up in this struggle life. Caller, you're on the air. You're listening to Guardian today with Darvin.
Hey, question, Darren.
Hey, Gary.
Right? You ever notice in the food store nowadays, right, they're doing a lot of downsizing on products?
Yes.
Notice the cereal box, right?
Yes, sir.
It's the same height, but it's a different width.
Yes,
sir. What they do is now they place the cereal box, like, in line, right, so that you wouldn't notice the width of the boxes are actually changed. and the price going up.
Can I tell you that is such an astute observation? I'm going to tell you.
I'll tell you another observation, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice now if you buy a bar of soap, right?
Yes.
Soap now has a curve in it.
Boy, look here.
We're so stupid, right? We thinking now the curve there for a style.
Mm-hmm.
No, they actually take out half the bar of soap.
Okay.
I'll sell you for the same, and the soap is
out. Let me tell you something. You wasn't the slow person in class. Let me tell you what the observation is. And I'll give them some more, have more conversation around this. But thank you for calling. What the gentleman talked about is one of the things that the manufacturers have been doing for quite some time is they've been playing around with sizes. And I'm going to tell you what to look out for when we come back from the break, the 1 o'clock break. You're listening to Guardian Today. This is Darvin. We're talking money on 96.9 today. We'll be back after the news break at 1 o'clock.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Great Commissions Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month or pay your tithes online to Great Commissions through the Givelify or SunCash apps. Help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, God's Storehouse, at 325-5801 for further information or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
The new Guardian Radio Sunday is here with a full day of diverse programming kicking off with the first and last word in sports, The Press Box with Naughty and Earl the Pearl, followed by Temple Time, Caribbean and Urban American Gospel Hits, Vital Voices, Sisters in Christ, and Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna, Remark with Garth Roseboro, Let's Talk Together in English with Lady T, Sunday starting at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Back. You are listening to Guardian Today, and I am your host, Darvin Russell, sitting in for Garth Roseboro. And today we're talking money. So before we took the break for news at 1 o'clock, we are having such a great conversation with you guys about tips and tricks on how to save grocery money. So we've only gotten to one of the big four items for tips for you. So we're going to talk. So the suggestions that we made so far were we talked about bulk buying. One of the callers specifically suggested that you bulk buy with your friends and family, but even specifically he mentioned churches. And I would extend that to another income category if we get a chance to talk about it between today and tomorrow's show. Secondly, we talked about buying more generic items instead of name brands. The third tip we talked about was bartering. I said, you know, I barter services for goods, so I have a Family Island client who is a fisherman. When he comes to Nassau to do his grocery shopping and his business, he rents a car from me, brings me a cooler of seafood, and we can barter and exchange in that way. You might be a person, you are a painter. Thing to reduce, if not eliminate, buying those items. It's healthier for you, better for you, more nutritious, and anybody that has gardened or grown their own food knows that the taste is unmatched compared to what you get in the grocery store. So let me tell you my little story. Callers, you can continue to call. I'm sorry I'm missing some of the calls. I saw you caller who were calling. You can feel free to call back. So let me tell you all my little story. I used to, for those of you who are friends and family of mine, you know that I cook. I love cooking and I love baking. And I would say that I'm a pretty good cook, right? But my friend, who I used to work with when I was a young banker in America, loved my cooking so much that my side hustle, my first side hustle was I used to cook him lunch and he used to pay me $10. And you know that that $10 a day used to offset my entire grocery budget for the month. Go ahead then, Darvin. Go ahead. Caller, you're on the air. You're on Guardian today listening to Darvin and we're talking money today.
Hey, just one more thing, right?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to warn people about purchasing low-end products. It does not always work in your benefit.
No.
I'll give a prime example.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, right,
mm-hmm.
all the bought apple juice was sold out. So a lot of stores try to bring in that one Indian apple juice.
Okay.
Man, that tastes so horrible.
Yeah.
That's the worst tasting apple juice I ever tasted before in my life. So
okay.
And the Fruit Loops, right?
Uh-huh.
They actually didn't have the Fruit Loops on there either. So they had one aftermarket, something similar to Fruit Loops.
Yes, sir.
That they thought it would do.
Yes.
So my point is, it doesn't always work.
No, I appreciate that, sir. Thank you for that. All right, let's get to some of these texts. Thank you for calling. Texter says, in my opinion to the texter about my list of groceries that I mentioned that they critiqued, I'm sure that person buys what they like when they like. Next texter. That's the most intelligent caller you will hear today. Not sure which caller they were referring to. Good day, Prince Will schoolmate. The problem is that we as citizens are living on a very expensive resort called the Bahamas with salaries that don't match. Next texter. Darvin, the phenomenon of store items getting smaller is called shrinkflation. Former President Biden even commented on this from last year. Thank you, Texter. Hi, Mr. Russell. Great show. Love your voice. I like name brand food items too. I can substitute most of them, but I can't use no other mayonnaise other than Hellmann's. I tried them all. They're not like Hellmann's. Thank you for reading my text. All right. So let's talk about, as the texter so aptly identified it, shrinkflation. So let me tell you some of the little tips and tricks. And it's only, I notice stuff because I pay attention. Some of you are also geeks like me around stuff like this that you also pay attention, just like the caller mentioned about the soap. So let me give you a couple of other items and a couple of other tricks that food manufacturers do that you may not realize how they are manipulating and tricking you, right? So they play around with sizes. You can see it prominently displayed with potato chips. They'll put in a bigger bag, fill it with air, and when you open the bag, it's no more potato chips than the size below it that's cheaper. So that's one. Second thing that they do is play with sizes with the milk and the juice. I'm a lactate drinker because I'm, for whatever reason, the other milk does not work for me. And they play around with the half gallon. There's a size in between the half gallon, but they don't do much adjusting to the price to compensate for the smaller sizes. When you're buying carnation cream or when you're buying cream, not all of the cream that looks the same size is the same size. So you need to convert what you're paying for these items by the ounce, by the pound, by the milliliter, for you to recognize when you're actually saving money. Carnation, Alaska, Cardinal, those are all not the same size can. Look at them next time you go to the grocery store. Sugar, they do it with sugar. For those, as much as my mommy laughs at me about buying First Choice, First Choice is only 4.4 pounds. It's not a 5-pound bag of sugar like the Americans package their sugar and flour. Not all flour is 5 pounds. Some are higher, some are lower. So once again, price per ounce, price per milliliter, price per pound is the way for you to identify it. Here's another trick they do with your grocery. They manipulate sheet count. So for those of you that are buying paper towels, when you read the description, It may say to you 150 sheets. Another one may say 200 sheets. You think if you buy the one for 200 sheets, you're getting more paper towels. Well, only if you count by sheet. The 200 sheets are smaller than the 150 sheets, so you have to look at the total yards of paper towel that you're purchasing. Okay, look at the total yards. They manipulate ingredients. They take out some content, put a cheaper item in there to stretch the contents of the packaging. Read your ingredients, people. Read your ingredients. And then the last one I'll share with you is scoop sizes, especially for laundry detergent. When you read the number of uses, it is determined by oftentimes the lowest setting. When you take that scoop out of the powder detergent, there are three lines. It is based usually off of the lowest setting size to determine the number of uses, servings in that container. So those of you that just take the scoop and just scoop until the scoop is full, you are wasting laundry detergent. So that's what we have on grocery for today. Talking about tips and tricks on saving your grocery. All right. Let's look at some of the other big ticket items we're going to talk about today. So we're going to talk about the next one. We've touched on grocery. You got rent or mortgage. You got your utility or electric, cable, gas, water. You know, however you think about your utilities, whatever you classify as your utilities. We're going to talk a little bit, if we get a chance. We may not get through all of these today. Health insurance, car insurance. You can think about, depending upon how you group your expenses, some of these things may affect, like you may group them in different categories, if you will. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. And then we talk about gas and vehicle maintenance. And we'll talk a little bit about your grocery. I'm sorry, we just talked about your grocery. Okay, so let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is rent or mortgage. Now, here's the thing with your rent or your mortgage, right? Bahamians have been suffering under really high and inflationary rent factors. One of the things that you will notice is that interest rates for mortgages has fallen. Fallen very dramatically over the last few years. They have notched up a little bit as of late, maybe within the last 12, 18 months. But I refinanced my mortgage, and I got less than 4% rate. And at the time, my mortgage was over 7%. So I saved almost half of my mortgage payment. It was a tremendous saving to me and my family. So for those of you that have a mortgage, and you are above the current interest rate environment, I would encourage you to refinance. Now, don't refinance and extend the mortgage term because you're just paying back the bank more interest, right? So refinance to get that lower interest rate. And if you got to take a little bit out, maybe you planned on doing some modest renovations to improve the value. I have no difficulty with that. But you're trying to lower that payment without extending the term of your mortgage to save. But here's the issue. When you own your own home, unfortunately, the mortgage isn't the only bill that comes along with home ownership. Along with the house comes the insurance, the maintenance, and the repairs when something goes wrong with your home. You don't have those additional expenses if you're renting. So if you are buying a house, you should be thinking, what is the smallest home I can buy in the nicest neighborhood for my budget? Why? Because size matters for a lot of the other expenses associated with home ownership. you're mowing your lawn, you're using a, it's a smaller footprint that the landscaper has to cover or you have to cover. If you're paying for it, you can't charge me the same as a landscaper for my small yard as you do the neighbor with a larger yard. Okay? Homeowner's insurance is lower if the house is smaller than if the house is worth more. Just logical, common sense. But oftentimes we don't think about it. We go and buy the house that we want without considering the size of the home. So think about what is the smallest house, not the biggest house I can afford. The smallest house in the nicest neighborhood to limit as much as possible those expenses, those ancillary expenses. Talk to your insurance agent for you to get reductions on your insurance policy for hurricane impact windows, for your fire alarm, smoke, fire alarm, your carbon monoxide detector. Make sure you are getting reductions for those items. Make sure you're getting reductions for if they give reductions on having a wall up or any safety and security features, cameras, your alarm, those kinds of things, right? Put these things in place to lower that premium for you, okay? So housing or your mortgage, as it relates to those things, those additional expenses, making those smart upfront decisions would help tremendously on your overall cost of housing. All right, so let's look at the renters, those of you that are renting, okay? If you're renting in the Bahamas today, I understand you have been having a time with landlords. They don't just increase by $10 and $20. These landlords are increasing by $100, $150, $200, $500. And I have empathy for landlords as well because I am a landlord and I understand why sometimes they need to do that. They have upgraded the property. They have put nice furniture if you're renting a furnished apartment. You live in a nice neighborhood. Their mortgage on their home or apartments has gone up. Or they have a mortgage to pay, period. And they need to make a certain return on their investment. And this is not a charity case. They built this building to make money. And they too now have those same expenses that you would have if you owned a home. They have to maintain the property. In a lot of cases, they pay the water bill on your behalf. Okay? So you have to make sure as the landlord that you're covering your expenses. So in the Bahamas, there's a tendency that they're going to go up on their rent in order to cover the additional increases in those expenses or just to make more money. So when you sign 1-year leases, just expect that at the end of the lease, oftentimes the landlord is going to increase the rent. And if you can't afford to pay, somebody else may. So you may think, consider, if you feel as though you're in a stable, super stable situation, signing a 2-year lease if you want to fix your rent for a period of time or control the rate that rent increases. Make sense? So we've talked grocery, gave you some tips and tricks on your rent or your mortgage payment. Let's take a look at those utilities, electric, water, cable, propane. These things are oftentimes very hard to control. Cable is or it isn't. It costs what it costs. You have Starlink as an option for Wi-Fi now, but it costs what it costs. Your only decision here is to not get it. Now, I know for a lot of you, you're out there screaming, Darren, what you talking about, man? You know why I need my Wi-Fi? Well, then, this does not apply to you. You have to pay what the people charging you. There ain't a whole lot of strategies around saving on it other than eliminating it entirely. Starlink, I believe, you got an upfront charge of in the neighborhood of $400 for the equipment. Maybe you got to pay somebody to install it if you don't know how to do the DIY process. But then it's $75 a month. If you've got cable, cable TV, internet, and the phone package, I think that's about $115 with that. So it costs what it costs. The water bill, you do have some control over. You're talking about installing low drip faucets, changing your shower heads, making sure you maintain your toilet valves in good condition so that they're not leaking. You're getting proper external faucets on your home so your external faucets aren't leaking. We spend a lot of money on water unnecessary because we're not checking these things. Your toilets may be leaking in your house without you realizing it, leaking slowly and costing you money. If you are living in a home and you're paying more than $100 a month for water, I tell you, and there are less than two or three people living in that house, something is going on with your plumbing situation. My water bill from my house is always consistently less than $75 a month, and I have a good size house. So watch that water bill, okay? I used to have it under $50 consistently, but, you know, washing cars and doing some different stuff. But at the end of the day, watch that water bill. That does not need to be an expensive bill. For some of you that are fortunate enough to still be on well water or capturing rainwater to reduce your usage even further, kudos to you. You don't have that bill at all if you're being wise and judicious about how you capture your rainwater and you're using your well water. Next category that we're going to talk about, let's talk a little bit about these insurance payments that are plaguing some of us. So let's deal with health insurance for a little bit. For if you can afford to, and you happen to work for an employer that has funds your own health insurance for your company, right? So you maybe have, you contribute 20%, they pay 80%. When I worked at DHL, when I ran DHL, we paid 100% for our employees, which was a huge benefit and savings. I don't know if that's still the case for those persons there, but that is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. For me now, as an entrepreneur, I have to foot my insurance costs if I wasn't on my spouse's insurance policy. So that's paid through my spouse's employer. But I also am enrolled in LAMP and NHI, which offers a degree of savings for preventative care. For those of you that are entrepreneurs, you should definitely be in NHI. I would encourage you to also purchase LAMP. It adds some enhanced benefits over NHI, and NHI doesn't have a premium associated with it, right? So that is a very reasonable program through Doctors Hospital for you to consider when talking about at least having some type of coverage. There is no catastrophic care, so if you get really sick, like I did in 2020 when I didn't have insurance and I had to have brain surgery, that had to get funded out of pocket. So those things can bankrupt you, right? If you don't have a cushion, if you don't have the ability to tap into saving to pay for those kinds of expensive surgeries, you really need to have a strategy around how you save for those huge, big ticket items like health insurance. A radical proposal for you, one of the callers had suggested, for example, you talking about the churches doing bulk buying of grocery. I would challenge some of the churches, and I will maybe have a conversation at my own church about considering that, but also considering establishing insurance co-ops through your church for either health or homeowners insurance. So you'd have to get with the folks at the Cooperative League to do that. But that is a consideration where we can hopefully reduce the cost of insurance even further for many people that are struggling either with no insurance, no health insurance, or homeowners insurance policies that are through the roof and they're trying to save money any way they can. Okay? So one of the things that I did not mention before we go on about saving in with rent or your mortgage is getting a roommate, right? I forgot to mention that. Getting a roommate. When I was a young banker, and I lived in South Carolina, my rent at the time for my two-bedroom apartment was less than $500, right? I'm dating myself now. But it was less than $500. And I remember my good friend moved to South Carolina to find work after he graduated from Lincoln University. I was a year ahead of him. He moved down to South Carolina, and he became my roommate. And we split that. He paid his half, and I paid my half. So even now with a roommate, I was able to cut that bill in half, although I didn't need to. I did that, and it was a tremendous savings and helped me save money toward my graduate school studies at Ohio State. So if you are in the Bahamas and are struggling with paying your rent, get a two-bedroom versus a one-bedroom. Get a three-bedroom versus a two-bedroom. Because a three-bedroom isn't three times as expensive as a one-bedroom. Get yourself two other persons to live with that you can live with and save on the cost. Your costs don't triple because the bedrooms triple. You don't pay three times the light bill, three times the water bill. You can keep your grocery budget separate if you want to do that, but you don't pay three times the grocery bill either. If you have three people sharing an apartment or a house together, that is a very great strategy. I had challenges living with people when I was a young executive. My counterparts, however, did not have a problem having roommates. I lived at the time that they were that my colleagues employed this roommate strategy in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And Hilton Head, South Carolina is very similar to the Bahamas in that it is a resort island, very expensive relative to other places in South Carolina. So it was big time expensive living. But me, being the introvert that I can sometimes be, wanted to live by my own. Outside of my roommate in the other part of South Carolina that I lived, I always had struggled with roommates when I was in college. Couldn't live with anybody. They would annoy me. They were nasty. Whatever the issue was, it was always a challenge for me. So I was determined to live on my own. And after graduation, I did just that, with the one exception, like I said, with my friend who moved in with me for that period of time. In Hilton Head, South Carolina, I was on my own in my two-bedroom condo, but I had purchased that. My colleagues, however, had bought a beautiful three-bedroom house, and they were sharing the mortgage. Now, they bought, but you can do this as a rental. I do not encourage you to go buy a house with people who you don't have an ironclad understanding around. So I'm talking about renting only in this context. They bought, paid a third of the mortgage, a third of the expenses, and when they sold that house, they all split the profits three ways and made tremendously more money even after cutting it up in a third than I did when I sold my two-bedroom condo. I'm saying this to say to you, there's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We have to sometimes disavow ourselves of the notion that we are loners in this place and space called life. There are people out here that are in the same situation and condition that you are in. There are people out here that have strategies like I shared with you today that can assist you if you would only take an opportunity, leap a step of faith, and do something different financially for you and yours. Getting yourself a roommate, learning to live with others, is something I know that can be a challenge for some of you. But if you find yourself in a financial bind and you need breathing room, there are no greater stresses, especially for us as men, other than our families, our spouses, and our money or our job. Right? So I'm going to encourage you to think about that roommate situation that I have proposed for you and some of the other suggestions. We're going to take our last break before we wrap up the show. You're listening to Guardian Today with Darvin. We are talking money, and we will be right back after these messages.
Finance, bills pile up. sky high. Send that boy off to die. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do my life.
Don't settle for ordinary when you can have the Farmhouse King only at Burger King Nassau.
It's back!
Mm-hmm. Sink your teeth into 100% flame-grilled beef, stacked with crisp bacon, melty American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and the bold sauce that adds the perfect kick for a flavor sensation fit for a king. Grab the Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or go all in with the Farmhouse King's Feast. It's bigger, it's better, and it's only at Burger King Nassau.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Spend it all, I have not money. We make it before we see it. You take it.
Welcome back. You're listening to Guardian Today, and I am your host today, Darvin Russell. For those of you that are going to participate in the last segment of the show as we wrap up, 323-6232 are the numbers to call, 325-4316, 325-4259. For our family of island listeners, it's 242-300-5720. And for those of you that are going to text, it is 422-4796. As we wrap up the show today in this last 15 minutes or so that we have together, let me respond to some of the texts that are coming in. The text reads, I believe you live out west and are on New Providence Water Company because the text of us who's on water and sewage pay water and sewage quarterly. And when I was out west, New Providence water was crazy. Water bill was over $200 monthly. Oh my God. I could not imagine paying them kind of water bill. Oh. Yeah, I'd be catching rainwater, my friend. That is incredible. Good day, Mr. Russell. What is your advice for three working adults living in a two-bedroom plus two children and find it, I think you meant to say, hard to pay $600 per month in rent? Woo. Now, I am not sure if that $600 that you pay is each of you is paying $600 and the two-bedroom is a $1,200 in total. I can't imagine that you're paying $600 in total for a two-bedroom. I'd like to know where that apartment is in Nassau. But I'm going to answer it assuming that it's $600 that each of you pay for a two-bedroom place, so it constitutes a $1,200 place. And I'm guessing that you're asking because the $600 is tight, even though you share it. This is what I would suggest to you. If it is, as I believe it is, $600, each of you is paying $600 and it's a $1,200 apartment, a three-bedroom may be, oh, no, so she's just responding to me because I had asked the question. So she's saying, no, it's $600 in total. That is an incredibly affordable apartment. So if you are only paying $600 for both of you, that's $300. I would imagine then that you might be somebody who is making maybe at or slightly above minimum wage. And the $300, because you also have two children, so this household has three plus, so five persons living in it. I don't know how big it is, but if your question is how do you save, this will be really tough for you to save because you are already probably at the lowest possible rent you could expect to pay. The only way that you would be able to save is saving on the other expenses associated with your living situation or ensuring that all three adults, if they're not currently, all three working adults are splitting the $600. Although there are only two bedrooms, the other adult is sleeping somewhere. So let me just play devil's advocate. If it was me and my spouse sharing with a third adult, let's say my sister, my brother, her brother, it would not be fair for my spouse and I to only pay $300 of the $600 just because we're occupying one bedroom. Some of you may disagree, but that is not fair because that rent should be split by the three adults, not the two bedrooms. If you are talking about three adults, one in one bedroom, one is in another bedroom, the third is on the couch with maybe like a sleeper sofa. You've decided to get a sleeper sofa. The person on the sleeper sofa who doesn't enjoy the privacy of the bedroom should not be asked to pay a third of the rent. You can't pay $200 if you got the bedroom. The other person pay $200 who has the other bedroom, and the person on the couch pay $200. That's also unfair. $250, $250, $100 may be better. Or $175, what is that, $350, yeah, that math, no math. Yeah, so it'd have to be $250, $250, and $100, or some denomination where the person on the couch is paying less than the other two. So $150 minus $600 is $450, so that's $225, $225, $150. That might be a fairer split for that person. So hopefully that helps you. Plan a garden if you can, if you're asking about some of the other expenses. But that would be my suggestion to you. As many people that can work should work when you're talking about adults in a household to share that burden. It should be shared fairly across all adults in the home. And if the children, once they get of working age, you know, go help your parents out, man. We had a tuck shop at my home. We used to sell cup and baggy and salty and Snickers and stuff when I was a kid, because that was the money that we saved and helped our parents pay for school books, our backpacks, go toward our uniform when we were young children. I don't know how old the children are living in your household, But when you are in that kind of financial strait, as I was for a portion of my life, that hustle mentality is really important for you to develop some of these habits. It's not always negative when you find yourself in a challenging situation, because the creativity that you are asked to demonstrate to make things work will serve you well as you increase your income. It is absolutely not hopeless. Poor folks are some of the most ingenious savers and budgeters that you have, because they have to make a dollar out of 15 cents. So hopefully that was helpful for you, and I answered some of your calls or answered that text appropriately. So let's talk about, maybe let me hit a couple of other items that I may not have had the time to, and see how much I can get covered in these last 7 minutes. So we've touched a little bit on the show today around rent and mortgage. We've given you strategies for that big ticket item. Talked a little bit about, actually we didn't talk at all. So let's talk a little bit about your electric bill. This has gotten quite a bit of press, if you will, as of late, with us having to deal with significant increases, especially over the summer, in our light bills, and seemingly the frustrating conversations out of BPL around what should have been a purported savings that was mentioned to us that seems to have never materialized on our light bills. So it's every man for himself, it seems, with the light bill situation, not to mention the frustrations that we deal with still with power outages in this little 7x21 island. But I want to focus on giving you some strategies around that. Many Bahamians know, who have had to deal with this vexing problem, that you know you ain't turning that AC on until it's absolutely necessary at night. You'll sweat through the day, and thank God for the AC in your car and at the office, right? So when you get home, as draconian as it may seem, you do have to pull out those plugs, right? Or shut the breaker off for those non-essential appliances. Leave your fridge on, your freezer on, but everything else you can switch the breaker off on. You should obviously be using LED lights. You should invest in a proper refrigerator that is an energy efficient refrigerator. I have a difference of opinion on the electric versus the gas heater, and let me tell you why. Although your heating elements pull the most power, that's your iron, that's your electric stove, your electric oven, your electric water heater, your electric dryer. I am not a fan anymore of gas water heaters. You can still do a gas dryer, however, but not a fan of gas water heaters. And that's because gas water heaters, propane water heaters, constantly heat the water. You know, they'll lower the temperature once it reaches a certain, it'll lower the temperature or the usage of the gas once the tank gets to a certain temperature. The problem is that happens all day. Whether you have engaged the hot water on your faucets or your showering, etc., that happens all day. An electric water heater, however, can be turned off completely when not in use, when you don't need hot water. That feature alone is helpful tremendously because the water heater pulls so much power. So I would suggest you installing a plug, a timer on your electric water heater so that it's only on for when you need it to shower, wash the dishes, or wash your clothes, and you do all hot water related activity at the same time. So you're showering at night on the night cycle or in the morning on your morning cycle. If you do it at both times, make sure you shut it off overnight, turn it back on in the morning if you wish to do it that way. Do your washing during whatever cycle the hot water heater is on, whichever cycle you choose. And of course, make sure that you switch to a gas oven and a gas range, okay? So the propane things that you should be using would be your range and your oven. And if you're contemplating buying a propane water heater, stick with the electric one and put it on a timer or a plug, okay? So those would be my suggestions around the electric. Buy the good appliances, the good energy-saving appliances. Switch out to your high-grade LED light bulbs and place your electric water heater on a timer or a switch, and switch your electric off at the breaker when you go to work. All right, so we got a lot done today, folks. We were able to highlight tips and tricks on your grocery bill. We spent an exhaustive amount of time on that, so you shouldn't have any more challenges, struggles, suggestions needed around being able to really maximize your savings in that area. I just touched on the electric and your other utilities. We spoke about the water and the cable. We touched on, as a part of your utilities, the gas and the propane. We talked about health insurance. We didn't talk about tips on car insurance, but the only thing you can do there, obviously, is to have a moderately priced car so that your insurance is lower and opt for third party as opposed to comprehensive, unless you bought a really nice car. We talked about smaller cars. You obviously would pay less in gas. I pay for my little Japanese toot-toot about $40 every 10 days or so. So I spend about $120 a month in gasoline. Maintenance is about $300 or so dollars a quarter, so $1,200 a year. And of course, for me, I'm a Christian, so I pay tithes. And we talked a little bit about some of the other strategies, or all of the strategies around, I should say, your grocery. Avoid vices will be my last tip for you today. So the gambling, the drinking, the smoking, avoid those things at all costs when you're trying to save money. And the final tip for today is make sure you develop great savings habits, saving at least 10% of your income and maximizing your retirement savings at your employers where they have one. It has been fantastic to be with you today on Guardian Radio. Tomorrow, I will be back in studio and we'll hopefully have this conversation around your small businesses. We're going to talk small business money tomorrow. Hopefully, you'll also participate in that conversation and we'll give you tips and tricks on how you can maximize the revenue and reduce your expenses for your small businesses. It's been fun. Till tomorrow, you are listening to Guardian Today, and I was your host, Darvin Russell. Have a fantastic afternoon, everybody. Be blessed. Hang ups, let down, bad breaks, setbacks.